Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, hearing voices, the tremble of cool, the feminine abyss, and I'm reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
I am never going to get tired of that movie. That movie is always awesome. I have never disliked it, but I've always liked it. And now apparently Chris Evans has apparently done a thing. Oh, and if you haven't heard of that thing, he's okay. But now he wants you to vote because he's gotten your attention. I'm sorry, but I laughed my ass off when I heard about that. But that has got absolutely nothing to do with tonight's show. Tonight's show is like normal. I'm going to talk about stuff. First off the bat, I'm going to talk about something that I really, really liked and was very happy to finally eventually see. It is...
미쳤어. 거기 또 들어간다고?
그래!
그래! You get the truck, come back with the money.
That's $2.5 million per head. If you come back alive.
I'm going to go to the
house. I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to
잡아!
'Doesn't that sound like a very busy movie? There's all kinds of activity going. Action, splendor, stuff, things, explodey things, bullety things, bright, lighty, bright things. Oh, and zombies, by the way. Because we all know I happen to love zombies. They love me too. So we're good friends. We get along quite well. We talk. We have discussions. We take tea every once in a while in the afternoon. That was the sequel to Train to Busan called Peninsula. Fun movie. I will clearly and very self-evidently say that the first one was way better. This was still a fun movie. However, the one particular peccadillo I have about it is that with all the action going on, most of the zombies were CG, and that made me sad. Or else they looked CG anyways. If they were real, it's like, wow, that would have been a lot of effort, because some of the cars smashing into the sides of things is like, squishy. Yeah, no, there's no way that that was a real person in a suit there or whatever doing stuff. It was CG. A lot of CG. Now, one of the best things about this particular movie is the characters are fun. They're interesting. They have strong dynamics interacting with each other. But it's the kids that take the show. Like a lot of things nowadays, the kids take the cake. There's a scene where the one little girl turns over to her sister driving the car, and they're trying to escape some guy, the bad zombies and whatever. And she says, oh, do I have to get involved now? And she pulls out a little remote controller, and a RC car, puts it down outside, starts playing with it. And it's an excellent way to draw away the zombies. Very unique, very inventive. I like it. I might steal it. I probably won't steal it, but I'll steal a version of it. Drones. Which they did in The Walking Dead, at least the ones. Drones with a radio on top and fly it around, whatever. Very effective tool for trying to distract, because, hey, look, pretty, shiny, light, oh, noise, ah, let's go follow that. Awesome way to do stuff. So, the overall story is basically set 4 years later, and I was really surprised when there was English being played. It's like, oh, they've got English commentators on there as well, and the bad guy over here is English and doing his shtick in the English. And it's like, oh, okay, so I'm reading subtitles and list, right? Okay, I'm doing both of these things. It's a fun movie, and at some point it'll be dubbed as well, and you can enjoy it without having to read the movie. I enjoyed it. You probably will too if you like zombies or Korean horror movies, which I like both of those. So it's very effective. But the basic story is 4 years after the zombie outbreak occurred in Train to Busan, things have kind of settled down a little bit. The UN has embargoed all of Korea, and there is not a very happy, healthy place to live. But if you're over there, that's where all the zombies are, and it's complete quarantine town. Nobody's allowed to go in there or come out of there unless you're dead, in which case they don't want you to leave there. They want you to stay there. Then you've got the other part of Korea where it's like, oh, all the refugees and everybody else is living. It's like, it's not a very good life for people. So the bad guy, leader of whatever gang it is that they're supposed to represent, has hired a handful of people to go back into the peninsula that is now in quarantine zone to find his truck of mucho money, and they can get split. He claims they can have a split of all the money if they survive the trip back out. So we have a couple of gentlemen who were, I won't say their names because I'm pretty sure I can't pronounce any of these names. I can pronounce June. Sorry, Junie. Juno? Captain Seal. I'm not going to try pronouncing anymore because it's Korean. I'm not really good with the Korean phonetics on stuff, so I won't try. So the two gentlemen are members of the military that helped try and evacuate people when the outbreak originally happened 4 years ago. The one main character, the main gentleman, not going to try. He is buddies with the other gentleman, and they were his sister, his sister, their husband, and some other kid or whatever got stuck in a outbreak after they tried to escape. Didn't actually work out so well. They're sad. He's angry. They're sad. So they're drinking their asses into oblivion. And hey, an opportunity to do something better with their lives. And then all sorts of the fun, hilarity, everything else ensues. Because zombies, man. Now, if you like large crowd scene zombies, there's some really cool scenes. Lots of cool action scenes with cars and stuff. They have a creative little game set up. Not quite the normal kind of thing, but pretty much what you would expect in a post-apocalyptic type thing where people are bored and they got to find some entertainment. So they make up stuff as they go. And fun ensues. So, that is the wrap-up for me for Train to Busan presenting Peninsula. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say that it's the best dang zombie movie out there, but it was an okay dying zombie movie to watch. Worth the watch? Probably not for the full price, but you get it, so, and it's enjoyable. I liked. Next on the socket.
25 years ago, you played a concert in front of the entire world. 1 month ago, you played in Barstow, California for 40 people, most of whom were there for $2 taco night. Bill and Ted, what have you got to say for yourselves?
Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
You were supposed to unite the world and save reality as we know it.
Bill, we've spent our whole life trying to write the song that will unite the world. Why can't we just go to the future when we have written it?
Whoa! And take it from ourselves!
But isn't that stealing?
How is that stealing if we're stealing it from ourselves, dude?
How'd you like our song?
It's a little on the dark side, but you know, that's cool.
That was Bill and Ted Face the Music, otherwise known as Bill and Ted Number 3. I'm sure nobody calls it Number 3 anymore because that kind of seems to be an oblivious, obvious kind of thing, right? So, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Is it going to change the world? No. Is it going to create a paradigm of peace, love, prosperity, etc., etc., etc.? No. Was it fun? Yes. I enjoyed it tremendously. And again, the kids steal the show all the time. So in this particular iteration of Bill and Ted, we have Samira Weaving and Brigitte Lundy Payne, playing Bill and Ted's daughters. They were more interesting on screen than the main contestants Bill and Ted were. I enjoyed Bill and Ted. I love the movie, the first original one. The second one was okay. This one is just basically a continuation of the exact same thing. There is nothing new here. There is no... what's the word I want to use here? Growth. There's no development. There's no nothing. It's a simple little story about, oh, gosh, look, Bill and Ted have to save all of existence again by doing something that they wouldn't normally have done. And some of the scenes are exactly funny, and some of the scenes are less funny. The scene with Death and his 45-minute bass solo going on, that was hilarious. The scene where Bill and Ted, and this is in the commercial, so it's not a spoiler, come back to one of their future selves and their big buffed-up outfits in prison is like, what? That's awesomely funny, stupid looking. Yeah, we're going to kill you guys so you guys can't take our song in the future. And then we're going back in time to go and like do this. Like, okay, riot starts in the prison. Blue! And then they escape. The entirety of the movie is basically reiteration of the exact same things been done in the other two movies. But it's Bill and Ted, so it's done amusingly. Now, of course, there's no George Carlin again, but that's kind of going to happen because, well, he's not with us anymore in the living side of the world. So we have this killer robot. I'm going to only throw out some parts of the basic story on it. Killer robot being sent by the future lady in charge who wants to say, hey, the only way we can fix this is by killing them. And that does not turn out to be the right answer, does it now? No. The robot is funny halfway through. He's not so funny in the beginning. It's like, oh, it's kind of a standard ploy plot thing put in. The daughter of the future woman leader of the mankind was a very amusing person as well. I'm going to try and pronounce some names. Oh, well, we know Keanu Reeves. We know Alex Winter, because that's Ted and Bill. Christian Schaal? Schaal. I'm going to go with Schaal. She's the young woman who comes back to try and bring them into and, hey, do stuff. Samira Weaving, Brigitte Lundy Payne. William Sadler as Death was funny. I don't understand why he was funny in that role, but he was freaking hilarious as that. Anthony Carrigan? I don't know. Erin Hayes, Jemma Mays. Oh, yeah, she was... I don't know. Hal Landon Jr., Beck Bennett, Kid Cudi. And this is the one that I wanted to know. Who the heck is Kid Cudi? I don't know who this guy is, but apparently he's a big part of the movie. Oh, he was a big part of the movie, but he's playing himself in the movie. He explains the idea of... he explains the idea behind the space-time continuum. It's like, oh, that makes sense, dude. And then they go off and do it and save all of existence. What? It's kind of like it's just one of those random Deus Ex Machina things that they throw into a movie, and it's like, okay, I guess, well, they pick somebody. Like, I don't know who he is. I've never heard his music, but apparently he's got a lot of music. He's got a lot of credits on IMDb, but Dave Grohl has a lovely cameo in it. It was kind of funny. What else do we got here? What else we got? Yeah, we got a bunch of other people. I love the two demons as they showed up in the movie. It's like, well, that's unusual. You don't normally see that down here in hell. Very funny. But as I said, for Bill purists, it was okay. For people who love comedies, it was okay. For anybody who's expecting anything of a gravitational effect that's going to be different and whatever, not so much. But still worth watching. Again, not full price. And now, the next one.
Sie und Ihre fünf Freunde wurden von einer Frau verprügelt. Von einer Frau.
Die Tussi, die hatte irgendwie so Superkräfte oder so.
Hey, wie ist schön, ne? Wie war der Tag?
Super, wie immer. Ich wollte eigentlich fragen wegen meiner Beförderung.
Hey, du bist einer von uns. Du Du weißt es nicht mehr.
Ich kann plötzlich Leute durch die Luft werfen und so. Das ist doch nicht normal.
Das bist du. Das ist dein wahres Ich. Wir sind auch nicht die Einzigen. Wir sind eine Großfamilie.
Electroman. Ja, das ist mein Superheldenname. Electroman.
Wurdest du mal von einer radioaktiven Spinne gebissen?
Nicht, dass ich wüsste.
Was kannst du?
Er ist unverwundbar.
Jeder Superheld braucht natürlich auch ein richtiges Outfit, ne?
Ja, im Internet sah es irgendwie geiler aus. Was machen wir jetzt damit? Damit unseren Superkräften. Wenn die uns da draußen erwischen, dann sperren die uns weg. Wir können einfach nicht mit normalen Menschen zusammenleben.
Mama, was ist los mit dir? Macht mir Angst.
Mir auch.
Warum bin ich so ein Freak?
Du bist kein Freak.
Wir sind der nächste Schritt in der fucking Evolution.
Brauche keinen Schutz, brauche kein Schutzschild. Ich lege vor und der Beat macht den Rest.
All right. So this was a Netflix gem of a movie for me. It was an unusual thing. I wasn't expecting it. I ended up watching it randomly. I was like, what's... Oh, that's an interesting premise. The premise was tipped by a mysterious tramp. A meek fry cook discovers she has superpowers and uncovers a savory vast conspiracy. That's the layout in the thing in the IMDb. Movies on Netflix. It is a fairly basic movie. It is not exceptional in any way, shape, or form, other than the fact that it was from Germany in this case, and it takes the superhero trope and makes it a little bit different, still a little bit the same. It's an origin story. Wendy is the main girl who's mostly speaking in the trailer, and I really tried to find an English version of the trailer, and I don't understand why there wasn't an English version. It's on freaking Netflix, but I wasn't going to record any of the actual Netflix because that would be wrong, so I tried to find a good trailer. I laughed a lot through this movie because you've got the development of both the good guy, Wendy, and the bad guy. Oh, well, I might tell you, Elmer. Merrick? No, Merrick was... I love this guy's real name. His name is Wotan. Dude, Wotan. Wotan Wilkie Moring. And I'm probably pronouncing Moring wrong because it's got the umlaut or whatever on top of his thing. I don't know. But, so these three people have different powers. Wendy is basically very strong, she's basically like the Hulk, but in nice form. She's not angry all the time. Elmar is Electro-Man, which kind of, it was mentioned in the trailer, so it's like a little bit of, I guess there's no real German version of that. And Merrick is basically he comes across off as very crazy, mentally unbalanced. Whatever other word expression you want to use, but is really actually trying to reach out to all the superhero-y type people who have developed powers and sort of bring them into a silent community so that they can stay safe and stay away from the prying eyes of the Umans. Oh, wait, the Umans is my expression. The human normal society who just want to lock everybody up. So apparently in this particular iteration of the world, there's a lot of these people out there flowing around just sort of dozy-dozy-dotes-dotes, going around about their life, being drugged by the government so that they suppress their powers, and bam. So, it follows a fairly simple plan in the story. Person finds out they've got superpowers, finds out that there's other people that have superpowers, tries to become part of the superpower community. Oh, and by the way, superpowered people, oh, well, they have issues just like everybody else. So, obviously, interactions...
Dear Diary, go fuck yourself. My name is Sydney. I'm a boring 17-year-old white girl. I'm not special. Yippee.
Might help with your moods.
I keep losing my temper. I don't want to, but it just spills out.
Hey, Sid.
Hey, Stanley Barber. He lives down the street from me.
Shoes. Who needs them?
My best friend is Dina. She's dating golden boy Bradley Lewis.
Do you ever smile?
Oh. Anyway, my dad died last spring. And now everything's so different. Dear Diary, when does this get easier? probably just puberty.
I think there might be something wrong with me.
What
do you mean? I just feel different lately. Everybody feels like a freak sometimes. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, God. Dear Diary, what the hell is going on with me?
You can tell me anything. You know that, right?
I want you to attempt to have a normal high school experience.
What a world we live in, Sydney.
Holy shit!
What's he doing?
Just wait.
Hey.
I forgot to mention the last trailer. That was a movie called Freaks, You're One of Us. This one was actually a show. It had, 9 episodes or whatever. And I think what happened, they're very short episodes, like 20, 22 minutes or whatever. So I think what they did is they actually made the movie and then they chopped it up into little bits. It's like, hey, this probably weighs better as a show. So let's do it that way. Again, another Netflix little interesting one. This one was quirky. I liked this one. This one was really entertaining. This one was called I Am Not Okay With This and follows a young girl who's about 17 years old in high school finding out, oh wait, she's got superpowers as well. But she's not quite sure that she's actually got superpowers or she's going crazy. So eventually throughout the entire show, she finds out, oh wait, she really does have superpowers. The ending is like, oh my God, I so saw it coming, but it was beautiful. I loved it. It was the perfect thing cap in the way that this show ran. Now, I don't know anybody in the show. Not a single soul here do I recognize. But these are apparently the same people who brought us the show The End of the Flipping World, which I'll edit out. Nah, you know what? The End of the Fucking World. Whatever. It was an unusual thing. So, sorry, 7 episodes the show has. Sophia Lillis plays Sydney Novak. Wyatt Olive plays Stanley Barber. Sophia Bryan plays Dina. Catherine Rose Parkins plays Maggie Novak. Richard Ellis plays Brad Lewis. There's a bunch of other people here, but these are the main characters. Dina is Sydney's mom. Sydney is the main character. She's going through the issues. Stanley plays the guy who is a neighbor that becomes a friend, sort of maybe not a friend. Maybe it is more than a friend. Maybe it's not so much a friend. Dina, it plays her best friend. Oh, and Brad Lewis is the, what's the word I want to use? The dick. That is trying to date Dina / is dating Dina / whatever. It is a very dry show. It's got the humor that is based in the ideas. Like you see a thing, it's like, oh, they say something. It's like, oh my God, that's funny. But it's more funny in the sense that it's not really, if it was in real life, you were experiencing that particular moment in time, it wouldn't feel funny except in after fact. It's like, oh shit, that was funny. Ha, Watching it, it's just plain funny. Seeing young punk-ass kids find out, oh shit, she got superpowers. They're interesting. It's funny. But at the same time, it's also very serious because it's a metaphor for a lot of the stress and things that young people will go through, like anybody in any particular category of time and space or whatever, goes through in just trying to grow up and become a person in the real world. So, I recommend this show. I thought it was hilarious. Dry hilarious, I'll rephrase, because it's not going to fit a lot of people's expectations if they're going for, oh my God, that's slap down funny. No, there were scenes that are slap down funny, but in overall general terms, it was amusing as heck and did a very smart job.
When he gets here, just count the dough. Let me do the talking.
You got it, boss.
early.
Who the hell are these guys?
You boys lost?
I'm a sentient Chronicom from the planet Chronica 2.
Good for you. Now beat it, before we make you freaks regret being born.
Chronicoms are not born.
Warning you. Last chance, pal. Take them, boys! What do you want?
Your face. Save S.H.I.E.L.D.
We have to save Hydra.
All right. So apparently I stayed on a superhero kick the entire time this week and bits of last week. That was Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season number 7. Okay, that's not the... What? That's the wrong spot. Why am I in there? That is incorrect. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to find that properly. But we will continue with. Interesting. Very interesting. That is incorrect. That's better. Okay. So, what are the key things that I recognized about this show, season? It was an attempt at trying to be very... Oh, let's hit all the 80s episodes. Let's hit all those 80 tropes, like Terminator. Oh, I love the one episode scene where Enoch is missing and they're trying to find him. And he swings in a car. It's like, come with me if you wish to continue furthering with your life and the existence. And it's like, oh, dude, that was funny. So they have a bunch of these little pockshot episodes. The entire season is pretty much a... Let's do retro homages to everything we liked about the 80s. So you've got like an E.T. thing, you've got the noir thing, you've got the commies from the future, bunch of little weird-ass expressions from the 50s and stuff, the totally excellent adventures of Mac and the D. Okay, sounds a lot like Bill and Ted, pretty sure. Okay, so if you're a Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan, and I liked a lot the first season. I enjoyed the second season. The third season was okay. Fourth season, a half, loved it with the Ghost Rider. Five and six kind of really, really, you're really searching and reaching here for options that don't really quite come through for me. Some bits work, some bits don't. Some bits work, some bits don't. So, Season 7 actually really worked for me, surprisingly enough. Having these weird, let's play with a dynamic here, let's play with the dynamic there, let's play with the dynamic here and change it up sometimes. So they basically have jumped back in time to starting in 1931 New York City. You've got the whole Prohibition thing going on. You've got everything else going on with all the other Chronicons trying to change the timeline by going back and basically doing the whole, hey, if we go back in time and kill Hitler before he's born, we actually change time. So, now, one thing I did like is that they at least tried to explain the idea of time travel effectively by not using string theory, but using the parallel random theory, by using a different means to explain how ripples being changed in time don't actually change time. It's when waves are changed that changes time. And I like the analogy that they were using there, and that kind of actually worked there. So we have the whole thing going through with them going through the 50s classic sci-fi motif, the Matrix motif. There was a few other ones. Like I said, the noir motif as well. And... Then we get into the back to they brought the Inhumans back. Oh, are they dead? Yeah, they're dead. But they brought the Inhumans back. I really like that. The Inhumans were some of my favoriteest stuff. So we have 13 episodes. It was the very last season of the show. I thought it wrapped up nicely. A lot of the episodes were kind of, you got a little lame there some. You got kind of a little cool. Got a little lame. Got a little cool. You kept going in cycles of like, this is neat, this is not. This is neat, this is not. And it's just, by the way, I just have to say hi, Jack. He can't come into the chat room right now, but he's listening. So it's like, hey, Jack. So what I really, really did like about this show is that there is a couple of elements where they foreshadow the reason why Gemma had to, apparently during the show, she had to plant a little thing in her back of her head so that she wouldn't remember where Fitz's location was or what's going on or whatever. And the whole thing was made and geared to make you think one set of things. And it turns out that might not necessarily have been the truth, or it might have. You don't know until you get to the last episode. Also, on the very last episode, they actually have a really good, satisfying closeout for the show. So you have a whole wrap-up of the way that the show worked. It's like, oh, look, the parallel universe, da-da-da. But okay, we fixed it, we've solved it, we fixed the problems, yay! And at the same time, not left any dirty laundry behind, and it works out. And then you have that whole epilogue at the end where it's like, oh, everybody's gone their whatever ways, and it all does whatever. And it wrapped up very nicely, very tastefully, and surprisingly strongly. So I thought, this was a good season. It's a great way to have ended a show. And it's something that really particularly irks me in any kind of show where they don't actually wrap the show up in a way that just says, hey, here it is, all tied in a bun. There we go. So now it is time for an intermezzo. Are you ready?
A city lights are calling, slowly coming back to life, speeding in the fast lane. Mama, let us waste no time.
We never cry for pain.
And tonight's intermezzo was brought to us by a band by the name of Edguy, founded by a couple of 14-year-old students in 1992. Apparently, it's a power metal, heavy metal band from Fulda, Germany. I enjoyed them. They were appropriately sapped for tonight's episode, which talking about some superhero stuff. And it was pleasant, and I enjoyed it. It was part of the way it's going. Now I'm going to introduce something that is very important because this movie is going to rock socks. I am telling you, it's going to rock socks.
There's something happening to me. There's something awakening in my mind. I can't control it.
What did you see?
There's a crusade coming.
Do you often dream things that happen just as you dream them?
Yes.
The test is simple. Remove your hand from the box, and you die.
What's in the box?
Pain. You inherit too much power. You have proven you can rule yourself. Now you must learn to rule others. Something none of your ancestors learned.
My father rules an entire planet.
He's losing it.
He's getting a richer one.
He'll lose that one too. Arrakis is a death trap.
Kill him. This is an extermination. They're picking my family off one by one.
Let's fight like demons.
An animal caught in a trap will gnaw off its own leg to escape. What will you do?
I know you.
One day, the legend will be born. All of civilization depends on it.
The future. I can see it. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer.
My Lord Duke.
Where the fear is gone, only I will remain.
Go, go, go!
So it should be safe to say I am very jazzed, very excited seeing that trailer. And I was like, oh my God, Giddy Curl Cop, yay! That looks freaking fantastic for a movie to come out. I'm a big Dune fan. I've always loved Frank Herbert's work. Absolutely, I think I have about 15 of his books. And it's not all Dune, but his Dune series is the one that he's most known for. It looks exactly the way I want the Dune movie to look. They got the power armor outright. The Weirding Way is about a little... it's about a martial arts. Jason Momoa playing Duncan Idaho looks fantastic, even though he's only going to be in there for a little while. This movie, I expect, is going to be like a 2.5-hour movie or something to that effect. And it's only the first half of the book. And it's like, oh gosh, I'm going to be so sad when the movie ends and it's like, but they only, damn it, I've got to wait another 2 years for the next movie or something like that. So very excited by the Dune movie by directed by Villeneuve. I am really excited for it. Want it to happen. I want to see it right now. Get him up on the phone, get him out, do it right now. So now I'm going to go to a couple of classics. This one's funny.
In the future lies a fortress at the edge of darkness. The enemy is at the gate, but the real terror is within. A man more than mortal, born half of heaven and half of hell, is their only salvation.
No sane man would come here to face this thing.
I'm not like other men.
That you will have to prove. You can sense it. You can feel it.
Christopher Lambert is...
You should be dead.
Many times.
Beowulf.
All right. That is one goofy-ass movie. I love it because it's goofy. Christopher Lambert, I don't know how he pronounced his name, but they just said it there, plays one of the goofiest characters he's ever done. It's like Mortal Kombat just happened 4 years before. Oh, let's do like, we got to give him a job. Let's go get a movie and put him in. It's like, yeah, he can jump around and swing a sword and do stuff. And it's like, but he can't really. So it's probably all stunt doubles doing stuff and all the other stuff, etc. But it's fun. It's actually a basic story. Haunted Castle. It is the a rendition of the Grendel meets Beowulf story. It is set in a post-apocalyptic future Earth, which is never made really clear except for the fact that, well, they've got machining and everything else going on. And it's just like, what? Random? All sorts of random stuff throwing up all over the place. So the other thing to mention is Rona Mitra, who was the original Tomb Raider girl that toured with the game company when they were presenting the games before the movies with what's-her-face in it. She was the Tomb Raider girl, but they didn't employ her for the movie because she was not popular enough, I guess, to play that character, even though she could physically do it and probably act it well enough. Very nice girl. I liked her in a number of things. She's been in a bunch of stuff, both good and bad, and it was interesting. And also there is a Charles Robinson who I might remember from... Okay, crap. Where the hell did I remember him from? Well, he's been in a lot of crap. So Night Court. That was it. Was it? No, that wasn't. That was something else. Yes, he was. He was Mac Robinson in the Night Court. I liked him. He was funny as hell as well. But, and yes, that one. So that was a fun bit of random because that was just a random movie I pulled out. It's like, I haven't seen that in ages. To be specific, about 21 years, I haven't seen that since. Now, for another classic, which I watch every once in a while.
In the dark of the night, something strange is going on.
You see that movie, Night of the Living Dead?
Sure.
They ship those bodies. Well, say hello.
The dead have risen from the grave.
Mister, there's 100 of those things out there.
How many did you say?
100.
And now the question is, how do we get them back into the ground?
Bert, Frank, we have a little problem.
Boy left, 10 right.
Puzzle. Because technically, you're not alive.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains.
How do you kill something that's already dead?
Well, how do I know, Fred? I don't know. Let me think.
It's not a bad question, Bert. In that movie, they destroyed the brain to kill him. Is that what they did?
The brains, right.
Brains.
The brain!
I hit the brain!
Oh! Get it off!
The military is nervous.
How was your day?
Usual crap.
The police are confused.
Send more cops.
It worked in the movie!
Well, it ain't working now.
We're in the movie line!
It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert.
The return of the living dead.
Okay. That is one of my favorite all-time movies that is absolutely mindless to watch, but enjoyable as crap. That was Return of the Living Dead from, where was that from? That was from 1985. That is an oldie but a goodie. Wait, how old is that? That's 35 freaking years old. Holy shiza. So one of the main things and memories for me in that movie is Linnea Quigley getting up on top of the gravestone and dancing naked. That is a memory that always stays with me from that movie. Especially her little diatribe later on. It's like, oh, my big fear is about being surrounded by a bunch of old people and eaten alive. Oh, wait, that's what happens to her. Movie has got a simple story, basic plot, everything else in there. It's just a bunch of fun movie quotes, bunch of fun scenes. Tarman is one of the best freaking zombies that's ever been put on celluloid. I swear to God, I love Tarman. Tarman is like awesome. More brains. And of course, send more paramedics. How can you not like that kind of line? Ha ha! So, a bunch of people in this movie, a bunch of credits. I'm not going to go over them all. I have actually met Linnea Quigley, Russell Striner, and John A. Russo before. I would have liked to meet Dan O'Bannon, maybe one day. Jewel Shepherd is on Facebook a lot. She's jumping around a lot. And then it looks like a lot of the other people in this movie just sort of went into normal careers after the movie. I don't know. It's what it does. Now we're going to have some squirrel time because I like squirrel time.
Hi, I'm Micro Squirrel, and I would like to take a moment and speak to you about the dangers of the world. There are a lot of crazy, nasty things going on in the world, and it is time that we start talking about these things and we start taking a moment to care and share our feelings and the negative impacts that these things have on everything. We need to make a stand. We need to stand up. We need to share so that other people can understand and we can move forward as a society. Wouldn't you say that's right, Mega?
Well, you know what? I darn tootin' say that the same shame. We have to make sure that as a society, we work together. I mean, there are a lot of broad differences and different things in different areas. It's a lot of differences. I know, I said that word like three times. In various areas in which the entire world, all of the people, all of the characters, all of the creatures, everything that is in this entirety of existence has a different viewpoint on everything, because as we grow, we see things differently, we know things differently, and we understand things differently. But at some point in time, we have to all come to the middle and agree that there is a good and positive way to carry forward without being negative and angry about these things. And as these things go on, we need to make sure that we all understand that sort of thing. We may not necessarily understand the other side, and the other side may not necessarily understand us, but we need to work together because there is something very scary coming down the road. It is going to be overwhelming, and it is going to be such a discernibly unusual, catastrophic kind of thing. It's like this whole, what's going on in the world today? That's peanuts compared to what's coming up. You got to look at these things. Right, Bubba? Huh, that's outstanding, Bubba. I understood every single word you had to say there, but I don't think any of our good listeners on this PSA had a brief moment of interest, or actually, no, necessarily. I'm sure they were interested. I just don't think they were capable of understanding your expressions. Would you like me to translate for you somewhat? Thank you. I am happy to provide this service for you, Bubba. You have been my best friend for such a long time in this really weird, strange, quirky world of all sorts of random stuff. And I love the fact that all of us are gathered here together on this quest to move forward and actually achieve some kind of positive change in direction in the world. I know with all of my heart, even though I have the sword of Grey Poop, that it is going to be a difficult stretch ahead. We have a lot of work to do and a lot of ground to cover, and there are many, many, many things that we are going to need to deal with, right?
Yeah, y'all are crazy, but yeah, that's kind of the basic crux of it. We have to work together.
Yes, you have missed me, yes? No, I won't be here for much, but I am here to join in the whole PSA experience that you are expressing here. It's like, yes, positive growth comes from positive interaction and other P words, because P is a very percussive sound, and it carries through very heavily on all the things that's scratched around. It's like you take a scrunchy little face there and a scrunchy little broken bone leg there, and you put them all together. And what do you get? You get something that moves crazy. And then it goes around the corner and it nibbles on me bum. Wait, I don't think I really wanted to say that, did I? But I did! Ha 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 ha! Oh, who brought the crazy man wolf guy? Oh, wait, is it Guy Fawkes? They look exactly the same, you know? They're like, two peas in a pod, birds of a feather that fly something under weather? I don't know. Yes, all of that. I'm very certain that was, give me a sec. I think it was Guy Fawkes, because Manwolf's stuck in that Crystal Castle thing, right? So he can't necessarily come out and do anything, you know? Oh, yeah, okay, I guess that rings true. Even so, still weird. I'm gonna go with, that was weird. But it's all for a good cause. We're trying to raise awareness so that everybody understands that there is an evil, 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 very, I can't say how many evils, but there is a lot of evils in it coming soon. And we have to prepare for these things because these things are dangerous. They can contribute to the downfall of society, both the intelligent creature society and the Umans. The Umans are probably the ones that are going to create the problem anyways, because they, I think, really, really like that stuff. But it's weird. You know, they're weird. We're not so weird. Okay, some of the people around here are weird. Me and Mega, we're not weird. We're solid. We're actually here to fight the good fight and push through because that's what we got to do. You got to stick together and grow and continue to build. I think they call it bridges, right? Yep, that's right. That's right. What they call a micro, they're bridges. You combine points to points. You build roads. You build infrastructure. You build a unified, integrated sort of society that works together in harmony. And everybody contributes and everybody succeeds. Nobody left behind. I think I've heard that somewhere. I think it was an Uman thing that said that. I don't know. Some Uman said that. It must have made sense because it sounds sense to me. So, I don't know. Well, that's just great, fellas. I'm so happy to hear that you guys are all 100% in behind our team quest plan here. We have to get that pigeon. No, sorry, the pigeon's not the big problem. You got that all wrong. That's just an interim sort of situation that goes towards a balancing thing. Your quest for the pigeon, to do away with the pigeon, that's, okay, that's like a drip in the bucket for what's really coming around the corner. What? You mean there's more going on that I don't know about? I've spent my entire life working towards this quest of the pigeon, you know? It's what drives me, and I cannot stop. I will keep going until I have completed this quest or it has completed me. Yeah, we kind of got that from, like, all the times you've talked crazy about stuff, so we know what's going on there. We're just so you know, there's more going on.
Oh. What do you mean, more?
Whoa, who the hell's that guy?
I just have to say, put my two cents in there and say, yeah, I know. I know exactly what you and Micro and Mega are talking about. I have seen those signs. The writing has been in the wood for like such a long time. It's coming. I know it. I could feel it in my bones. I would not normally have gone on this crazy-ass quest with Danger Stranger, Manger Man, Mouse, whatever the hell's keep going to call him, unless I knew there was something more. I didn't want to say much about it, but I knew there was more. And I am here to support and help and get through this issue and move towards that common goal of peace, prosperity, and other really positive P words, you know? It's like, that's what I'm here for, bros. You know, would you like some wood?
No, no, it's okay. We don't need wood right now. I think we've all got enough wood going on. But we need to start slowing down and focus on the big problem. It's like, I think we all need to put our heads together and combine, and come up with a really good plan on dealing with the issue.
Well, I think it would help if you guys would outline what the issue is. I thought it was all about the giant pigeon. Because the giant pigeon, like I said, I've got this large plethora of data. Another wonderful P word there. Data to go on about how it is impacting the society here in this world that we've got.
Yeah, we know. It's like it's an important quest for you. And it's important for some other people as well as whatever. So there's a whole thing on that. So that's all good. But after that, we have to focus on the problem.
Well, Micro, I think maybe you can help Danger Stranger Major Mad Mouse get his head wrapped around it by how about we outline what the problem is? Are you going to tell him what it is that is coming that is going to be such a dangerous thing for everyone?
I don't know. It's kind of weird. Kind of weird. You sure you want me to say it? Because I got the weird voice that everybody always gets so weirded out by. So it's like, if I say what's going on, people might not just look at me and say, ha ha, kind of thing. And it's like, then I don't want to feel good about that. It'd make me feel sad. It'd make me feel like I'm a little person. I mean, I am a little person. I'm tiny. I'm about like 2 inches long or whatever. So in the greatest spectrum of stuff, I'm actually pretty small. But I have big thoughts, big ideas. And I want to really constructively move forward to helping prevent a greater issue that's coming down.
Well, okay, Micro. Why don't I try and explain a little bit to y'all, to all of these people?
Okay, that's good. I like that. You guys laid it.
So, in every period of existence, I mean, we're going back thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, something comes up. Something is developed. Humanity, like the Umans over there, they usually build something that is so destructive, and entire societies are wiped out. Civilizations crumble to dust. It seems like minutes. Well, it's minutes when you look at it on an after thing and you watch the television show going on describing everything. It's like minutes goes by and it's like, oh my gosh, look at what happened there. All that stuff. And it's like really cool, groovy. Wow. It's like, I didn't know. You connect all these dots and they just sort of get together. I mean, I read a story about Rome, and one of the things that helped destroy Rome was lead poisoning in their aqueducts. So it was just one thing. I mean, you had the devaluation of their monetary policies, of their money. You had the overexpansion of the empire running across all these countries and stuff. You had all of these factors that were going into it and just contributing to a complete destabilization of that empire. And it was like, in the span of years, pa-boom. But it was these huge things and these little things that all combined together to make that destruction possible. What's happening now is we've clearly seen evidence and signs of this happening again. We've seen so many different things that are just coming together and creating the circumstances that is going to create a continued destructive force. And we need to put a stop to it right now. So what I understand, what we understand, what we've seen, and what we've actually witnessed to some experience to is the Umans have created these things called robots. We met one last episode, and it was called Rick, Robot Rick. He was kind of friendly, so it was like, okay, I got mixed feelings there. But everything else I've seen with the robots are going to come and destroy everything. It's like some kind of weird dynamic that's just going to arise in their makeup that's going to say, Uman's bad, kill them all. So they're going to do that. And then they're going to look at, not quite Uman's. Look, creatures, organic goop, also bad, like Uman's. Kill them all. Let's kill them all. And it's going to be a terrible thing. It's going to be disastrous. They're going to try and wipe everything out, every living creature out. And it's all because of the agents of destructive forces working behind them. They are guiding their hands. They are making their hands move forward ever so slightly. And they are working in the shadows. And these, my friends, these are what we have to work against. Yeah, you tell Omega, we got to work against those shadowy creatures. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, what are you guys talking about, shadowy creatures? I thought we were talking about the giant pigeon still. That giant pigeon is pernicious. Yes, he is very pernicious, but only to you and a handful of others. The secret shadowy people running behind the robots? Oof, they want to destroy everything.
Okay, you've opened my eyes to a couple of things there, so now I need to know more. What are the secret shadowy creatures hiding behind the robots that are trying to destroy all organic life? Do you know?
Oh, yes, we know. We've seen it. We've seen such terrible destructive forces that they've unleashed. They don't do anything directly. They sit behind desks. They sit behind those things that they call computers, and they type things out, and they make things happen. And they specially push the buttons of the robots, and the robots are getting ready to destroy everything.
Okay, but what are they?
Okay, this is going to be a bit of a stretch. You guys are going to have to believe me, but we saw it happen already once. We saw it happen when we were in our world, before we came here, and I'm sure it's just a matter of time before they come there, they come here, and it's like all this mass destruction and stuff going on.
Okay, well, the suspense is killing me now, more than whatever it is the shadowy creatures you're talking about. So, can you give me a hint? Can you give me a clue? Can you actually just spell it out?
Oh, yes, I'll spell it out.
Yeah, we'll spell it out for you. Starts with an M.
Yeah. What? An M? What the hell? Like monsters?
No, man, not monsters. Well, they kind of are monsters, but they're Mustardians.
What?
I don't believe you. That sounds outrageous and unscrupulous. What are Mustardians? Mustardians are intelligent mustard. They are trying to kill everything. And that was tonight's PSA from the cast and crew. That's mostly just me. Actually, that's all just me. Of The Squirrel, Micro Omega, Dr. Crocodile, Danger Stranger, Major Man, Mouse, Wolf. Wait the heck. Forgot his name. So many voices to try and do, and it's like I only got one throat. So, that is pretty much the end and wrap on tonight's episode. I just wanted to throw out as well, next week, we're going to have a guest. It's going to be a surprise guest, so I'm not going to say anything tonight. I'm going to start putting stuff out on the social medias in the next little while, saying, hey, look, guest special coming on, come out. In next month, I think I'll have a couple of other guests coming on as well. So good things, big things, new things coming out. Check us out on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. Have yourselves an amazing after rotten good time. Thank you everybody for showing up in the chat room on the Facebook, on the various streams that play out as well. I want everybody to have themselves, as I just said, an amazing after rotten good time.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.